Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everyone, to the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. Glad to be with you today. Green Bay beats Dallas last week with a last-minute Aaron Rodgers touchdown drive. Got the ball with 1 minute and 13 seconds left in the game, trailing by three, takes him right down the field, and with 11 seconds left in the game, touchdown pass to Davante Adams, and the Packers win. The Bears lose to the Vikings last week on Monday Night Football. It was a close one, but a Mitch Trubisky interception at the end of the game kind of sealed the fate for the Bears. So upcoming for Chicago at 1-4 is the Baltimore Ravens, and Green Bay takes on Minnesota in Minnesota, the Packers at 4-1. Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Packers, talks about having confidence going down the field and winning the game and instilling it in the other players on his team.
The key for us, I think, is understanding how to win. The quicker that we do that in this locker room, the more games you're going to see like Cincinnati and Dallas, where we have to have a drive at the end of the game, and we come through and make enough plays to win those games.
How would you compare how hard it is to win now when people know what you're doing and what your strengths and weaknesses might be versus when you're young and you don't know as much yet, but people don't have a book on you?
Well, it goes both ways, because there's a lot of film on you, for one, for them to look at, but a lot of film that worries them as well. You know, scrambles and getting the ball in your hand quickly can scare teams out of pressures. Extended plays can scare teams out of rushing just three guys. So when there's a lot of film out there, it goes both ways, because there's stuff to watch and to break down and to try and find tendencies. There's also stuff that can scare you a little bit as a defensive coach is trying to scheme to slow us down.
Kicker Mason Crosby missed two extra points in the game against Dallas, but it was mostly because of a couple rookies that were playing at holder and long snapper, as Brent Good, a longtime long snapper for the Packers, is now on injured reserve. So he did miss two extra points. He talks about that here.
Obviously evaluated all the stuff and looked at it, and then ultimately, you know, as I move on for the next week, I look at what I can do. So just always make sure my tempo, my timing, my rhythm's always the same. And then just, you know, we got two young guys that are, you know, a snapper and a holder, and make sure that, you know, we don't get excited about the moments. We make sure that we go out there and we execute at a high level. And, you know, I depend on them to, you know, to do their job every time, and they have to depend on me to knock it through. So, you know, regardless of what happens on the snap and the hold, I feel like it's my job to put a good strike on it and hit it through. So ultimately, you know, we're all responsible anytime that doesn't happen. And I got to make sure that I really detail my work every day and focus on that. Those are things I can control. And then, you know, and then we just keep practicing, keep working and making sure that timing is as good as possible.
So a lot coming up on the show, more NFL. And of course, we'll talk about the Cubs right here on the Sports Report.
You know, sometimes when you compare prices on products, you think to yourself, what difference does it make? The rates are all about the same anyway. But sometimes the rates are very different. Let me give you an example where there's a huge difference in pricing between companies. Vehicle protection plans. Look, if your car is 4 years or older, having a vehicle protection plan is a no-brainer. The trick is not to overpay for it. Here are the facts. The average price of a vehicle protection plan is $2,800, while the price of a Toco warranty vehicle protection plan for most vehicles is just $1,500. The average down payment on a vehicle protection plan is $299. With Toco warranty, there's no down payment. The average monthly payment on a vehicle protection plan is more than $160 a month. With Toco, the average monthly payment is just $49. To get a highly rated vehicle protection plan at a great low rate, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to visit InternetFM.com. This great site has online stations streaming rock music 24/7, hundreds of podcasts with on-demand music, sports, and talk programs. Also get daily features, music news, and useful links. Our radio stations have limited or no commercials at all. InternetFM.com. It's totally free. No sign-up required. If you love music, then InternetFM.com is for you. Also on Facebook at InternetFM.
Hi there, this is Chris Berman from ESPN. Hey, Packer Dave, I know you know about the frozen tundra, but about the rest of the football, do a little boning up, eh?
I've been boning up, and I know we got a shiny new stadium to play a game in Minnesota. The Packers and the Bears play this week, Green Bay in Minnesota, Chicago playing the Baltimore Ravens. Here's Coach Mike Zimmer on Aaron Rodgers.
He's elusive, and, you know, he's so smart. You know, he sees where the open space is. He knows what the coverage is. You know, a lot of times he's just playing with you as far as where he can go with, you know, he knows, hey, if I give him a little extra time, I'm going to get this. He knows that at the end of the game, he tells the tackle to, you know, like you're saying, he tells the tackle, hey, I'm going to roll out to my left. You pin the guy inside, I'm going to go to my left. You know, he does that. He's done that. Against Arizona last year, he did it this year against, I don't know who the heck I was watching. But anyway, he does it. And Detroit last year, you know, that's what he does.
All right, now let's bring in, he goes to Hallis Hall each week, SRN Broadcasting's Steve Leventhal. Steve, how are you doing today?
Better than you, Packer Dave.
Yeah, I know, little voice problems, but we're going to get through it.
Playing with pain.
Doing a lot of traveling, all that kind of stuff, but we're going to muddle through it. Okay, well, the Bears come up a little bit short against the Vikings. Now they've got the Ravens, and what's Coach John Fox saying about the upcoming game and his quarterback, Mitch Trubisky?
Well, Fox, he's talking about the confidence he has in his quarterback, and, you know, that all things considered, you know, most people seem to think he did okay, sort of graded out at a B or a C in most cases.
All right, so you went to Hallis Hall. Tell us about the audio you acquired.
Again, here's John Fox talking about his new rookie quarterback.
Again, it was his first experience, you know, in a regular season game. That's a better question for him, I think. But based on what I've seen, I think there's probably a couple situations that, you know, were learning experiences for him. You know, I think he'll build on that. I mean, you know, based on what I've seen, he's, you know, pretty even keel guy. He's not too big. He's extremely accurate. You know, then just some of the decision-making things that you learn really by playing, regardless of the position, and particularly a quarterback.
Coach Fox then gave his thoughts on the Ravens' defense.
Pretty complex scheme. They do a lot of things, regardless of situationally. You know, they do a lot. They have some veteran guys that tie it together. I think they've been that way for a long time. We competed against a lot of them in the past. You know, they have good players that are opportunistic. I think, you know, they had a bunch of takeaways on defense, which, you know, obviously helps your offense. You know, they've got a good blend of youth and experience, you know, whether it's in whatever level of their defense, I always think it's important because communication's key, you know, especially when, you know, it's playing such a fast game. So that's kind of my first impressions.
And the Bears tight end Zach Miller also gave his thoughts on the defense he's going to be facing this Sunday.
You know, they're tough in a lot of areas. Third down, red zone, takeaways. You know, that's kind of their thing. They're smart, physical defense, so they're good.
What do you know about what it's going to be like to play in that stadium down there?
I've been there before. It'll be loud, good crowd, so much like all the other 31-1 teams on the road. So we'll be looking forward to the challenge.
And then lastly, we've got Pernell McPhee, who is a former Raven. He was not signed, and the Bears signed him as a free agent. So it talks about, one, going back to Baltimore, and two, the fact that Terrell Suggs was somebody who kind of brought him along, and he looks up to him.
Just the way he played the game, the way he studied, the way he take the game serious, is, you know, he real selfish as a player. And I think that's a great thing. And I tell Flo all the time, if you selfish as a player, you know, that help you become a great player, meaning that you want to make all the plays. You know, but, you know, that's my guy, man. He's a great guy to come up on, and, you know, I'm thankful for all the things I learned while I was playing with him.
Let's now take a look at the Ravens with Coach John Harbaugh talking about his take on Mitch Trubisky.
Any quarterback, probably, there's pluses and minuses, rookie or veteran. You know, you try to look at those things and determine what the best way to defend the quarterback is. But he looked good, athletic. He's a talented thrower. He can move, a very athletic guy. Made a lot of plays with his feet and his arm, you know, on the run. So he looks like a dangerous quarterback.
And Joe Flacco on the team's confidence.
I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to go out there and play well and always constantly every week prove to yourself that you can play consistently and play like that. So it's definitely a step in the right direction. And, I think we're a confident group. But having said that, just like I said last week, you have to go out there and play well and prove it to yourself all the time. And, you know, having 2 weeks the way we did a couple weeks ago, you know, you just don't want any bad thoughts to creep in the guy's head. So I think last week was definitely big for our group, and we just got to keep it going.
Now we bring in SRN Broadcasting contributor Mike Perlo. Mike, how you doing today?
Doing well, Dave. How about yourself?
Doing great, my friend. And you're on with myself, Steve Leventhal. And let's look at some of the matchups that are good this week, including the Packers and the Vikings. Green Bay at 4-1, Minnesota at 3-2. Big Central Division matchup this week. Quarterback situation for the Vikings is a little tenuous right now. That knee of Sam Bradford did not hold up well last week. And so what should we look for in this game?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of passing on the Green Bay side of the ball for sure. You know, it's really tough to say with Minnesota losing Dalvin Cook and still trying to find their running game, trying to figure out who's going to run their offense. I look for this to be a defensive struggle. I look for them to just struggle, period, on both sides of the ball. I like for Green Bay to whip them up.
Okay, and a couple other ones that we should look at here. Kansas City hosting Pittsburgh. Kansas City at 5-0, the only undefeated team in the league right now. Pittsburgh at 3-2, coming off a shellacking at the hands of the Baltimore Ravens. And Ben Roethlisberger just seeming like his head is not in it. What's going on with Roethlisberger and the Steelers?
They're having a super tough time right now. And Roethlisberger, as we've seen over the past probably season and a half, has even so much more trouble on the road. Compound that with the fact they're walking into Kansas City, one of the most difficult stadiums. I look for Kareem Hunt to run all over the Steelers. I look for this to be a blowout.
Okay. And Steve, the Patriots sit at 3-2. They're up against the Jets. Suddenly at 3-2, Steve, did you expect the Patriots to be at 3-2 at this point? Did you expect the Jets to be at 3-2?
Yes and no. you know, the Patriots, look, we've said it all along. Brady seems to have discovered the fountain of youth. Belichick can coach he could coach a double A college team and probably in this league. He's just good. And the Patriots, they seem to find whatever they need to make it happen. And 3-2, I mean, that's not bad. And then the Jets, they've probably been pretty surprising. I don't think most people thought they would have been there.
Another part of that is the level of competition that they've played. But the Patriots 3-2 at the Jets 3-2. Mike, your thoughts here?
Yeah, clearly the Jets are outclassed every step of the way. I think their defense is okay, but I look for Brady and Belichick to trounce.
Okay, Atlanta hosts Miami. Atlanta at 3-1, and the Dolphins at 2-2, having picked up a victory last week. I think Atlanta may be the favorite here, though. What do you think on this one?
I think Atlanta's definitely the favorite. They're coming off a bye week as well. Keep that in mind. They're going to be really fresh. I look for Matt Ryan to command that offense, and I look for them to run the ball quite a bit.
Unfortunately for NBC this Sunday, they've got the 3-1 Broncos at the 0-5 Giants. Everything falling apart there. Odell Beckham Jr. out for the season with a broken ankle. So we've got a big slate of games coming up for this weekend. Now, Steve and Mike are going to talk a bit about fantasy football before we head to break, Steve.
That's right. Last week, it was not the pretty week, but we did get saved by a few of those late games. So just, Mike, why don't you give a quick synopsis of what we're looking at, who we want to play this weekend?
Yeah, it's really hard to keep my eyes off of Deshaun Watson. He's really sparkled these last couple of weeks, and he's who saved our bacon last week. And they're hosting Cleveland. I don't know what more needs to be said. Him, DeAndre Hopkins, having Will Fuller back in the mix. I look for the Houston Texans to have a field day. Steve, one of your buddies, Leonard Fournette. Let's talk about Leonard Fournette, the guy that you had pegged for years as this beast of a running back.
Yeah, he had a career high 181 yards last week, although he was limited in practice. But you can't not go with him because you don't want to miss out on that. Real quickly, just give the wide receiver, tight end, kicker combination.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we talked about DeAndre Hopkins. I also like Terrell Pryor in Washington coming off of a bye this week. I look for them to take care of business when they face the 49ers. Tight end Jordan Reed, a sneaky tight end on perhaps the cheaper side of the house, is Austin Seferian Jenkins this week. The Jets are going to have to throw the ball a lot. He may be one of their primary targets this week. And you cannot go wrong. Dave mentioned this earlier. You've got Denver hosting the New York Giants. Not only did the Giants lose Beckham, they have now Brandon Marshall on IR. They lost Sterling Shepard as well. Eli has nobody to throw the ball to. They're walking into Denver. Tough, tough mission for the Giants this week.
All right, Mike Perlo, fantasy football here, and the discussion on the slate of games this week. We'll do it again next week, Mike. Thank you very much. Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the big 9-8 victory that the Cubs had over the Washington Nationals on Thursday night. And we'll take a trip down memory lane with Dion Miller from ABC TV 7. She covered the Cubs all through the championship run last year. We'll talk about it when we come back on the Sports Report. Hang on.
Organization is a big deal in most areas of the home, but nowhere is it more important than the laundry room. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about how to get the most from yours right after this.
Carrier asks, what does comfort mean to you? Is it a cool breeze on a scorching day or a cozy corner on a cold night? That every room of the house is as inviting as the next and the air is fresh and clean for everyone. At Carrier, comfort means more than just the temperature, and the people who invented modern air conditioning keep inventing new ways to make you comfortable, however you define it. Carrier, turn to the experts. Visit Carrier.com and make yourself comfortable.
The laundry room is one of the busiest areas in the home, and yet they're usually not that large, so here are a few tips to maximize their efficiency. Create a series of hamper-sized shelves or cubbies to make sorting clothes by color easier and more efficient. You can arrange them vertically or horizontally depending on your layout. You can never have too much shelving, so consider adding some up near the ceiling. A shelf that is flush with the tops of door casings can run all the way around the room and provide lots of extra storage, plus a handy place to mount a closet rod for hanging clothes. Tall, shallow shelving above or adjacent to the washing machine is also a good idea for detergent, bleach, and other laundry products. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com. I'm Bob Terrell. Join us in 1986 on The Year in Sports. The best football team in the NFC was the New York Giants, quarterbacked by Phil Simms, who the next year would be named Super Bowl MVP. The Giants went on to win the Super Bowl over the AFC Denver Broncos 39-20. In NBA action, the Eastern Conference Boston Celtics defeated the Western Conference Houston Rockets 4-2, winning their 16th NBA championship. The 1986 Boston Celtics, which finished the regular season 67-15, is generally considered to be the best of Larry Bird's career. The 1986 World Series was a memorable battle between the New York Mets and the Boston Red Sox, which helped to spread the legend of the Curse of the Bambino to mass public awareness. New York Mets beat the Boston Red Sox, winning the series 4-3. And in hockey, it was the Edmonton Oilers winning the Stanley Cup, beating the Philadelphia Flyers 4-3 in the finals. I'm Bob Terrell. Thanks for joining us in 1986 on The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com.
You know, sometimes when you compare prices on products, you think to yourself, what difference does it make? The rates are all about the same anyway. But sometimes the rates are very different. Let me give you an example where there's a huge difference in pricing between companies. Vehicle protection plans. Look, if your car is 4 years or older, having a vehicle protection plan is a no-brainer. The trick is not to overpay for it. Here are the facts. The average price of a vehicle protection plan is $2,800, while the price of a TOCO warranty vehicle protection plan for most vehicles is just $1,500. The average down payment on a vehicle protection plan is $299. With TOCO warranty, there's no down payment. The average monthly payment on a vehicle protection plan is more than $160 a month. With TOCO, the average monthly payment is just $49. To get a highly rated vehicle protection plan at a great low rate, call TOCO Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
You guys, you lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you, Larry?
Lollygaggers.
Lollygaggers. What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Hey, Packer Dave, this is Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball. And, you know, when we think of Cheeseheads in Wisconsin, your name immediately comes to mind. Not only Cheesehead, but Curdle Cheese. When they talk about curdle cheese, letting it go sour, it's you, Dave. And we thank you for that, Packer Dave.
And we thank you for that, Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker. I am Packer Dave. And now to talk about the Cubs' 9-8 victory on Thursday night, we bring in KWWRadio.com contributor Bill Fordyce. And Bill, this game had a lot of crazy twists and turns. The Cubs were down 4-1. Then they were up 8-4, and it came down to the last batter with the Nationals. So your thoughts on this game?
Well, this game to me was indicative of the Cubs season. It's been a crazy season. You know, we've had really lively bats, but our pitching has been suspect. And sure enough, true to form, it took 7 pitchers to put the Nationals away. Unbelievable. We're excited here in Iowa. We've adopted the Cubs as our fans. We're home to the Iowa Cubs in Des Moines, their top AAA team. And we're hoping, though, that we can smooth out some pitching as we move forward.
Okay. Now, there are a lot of other things. A couple of blunders in the outfield by both teams. You had the umpire getting smacked in the head a couple times behind home plate. And a really tough call on the catcher throw to first base in the 8th inning that ended the inning for the Nationals. Your comments on those things?
Oh, just phenomenal. I mean, I think that, you know, people talk about destiny and whether this Cubs team is a team of destiny. And you look at some of those plays and you think somebody's really pulling on their side. You've got a passed ball that sends a player. You've got a catcher interference that extends our big inning. And, the foibles just kept mounting for the Nationals. But it's just really looking like for the Cubs. If you're a Cubs fan, I mean, somebody is really looking out for us upstairs.
Bill Fordyce with us, contributor from KWWRadio.com. What's your outlook on the series with the Dodgers?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good about it. I mean, our batters are just keep gaining confidence. That was our struggle in the first half of the season, but the bats are coming alive. If we can wake up Rizzo and Bryant, look out. You know, those Dodgers pitchers are really in for a ride.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Now let's go to an interview that we did earlier this year with Dion Miller from ABC TV 7. She covered the Cubs throughout the 2016 season up until their championship World Series win. And this is some good listening because I'll tell you, she really enjoyed what happened up until that World Series win and goes into it with some detail with us here on the Sports Report. We're going to talk baseball in this segment, specifically the 2016 Chicago Cubs ending a 108-year drought and winning the World Series. Dion, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I never want to miss an opportunity to talk baseball, so I'm thrilled to be joining you guys.
All right. Say hello, Steve.
The pleasure is entirely yours.
Okay. Now, Dion, you covered the 2016 Cubs from spring training in Arizona all the way through the visit to the White House at the end of the Barack Obama administration. So let's talk about what it was like in spring training 2016. Going into the season, what were the expectations and what was the feeling going into that year?
You know, I remember during spring training feeling like who wouldn't want to play for the Cubs right now? I mean, when Dexter Fowler came back, it just kind of set that tone of a magical storybook kind of season ahead for them. And just the attitude that they had was that they knew that how good they were going to be, and not in a cocky way or overconfident way, just in a way that they knew how to handle what was coming ahead. I mean, you look back to 2015 and everybody seems to think that was some sort of a surprise that they were able to go as far as they did and, you know, getting swept by the Mets and what that did for them in just teaching a lot of those young guys how to handle that, how to handle the length of a season with the way they want to be playing when it comes to mid, late October, learning all of those things, coming back with that knowledge in spring training. It gave them a sense of confidence, a sense of calm, that they understand the marathon that is ahead of them, and it's not something that they need to be sprinting towards or are anxious about. It just one day at a time. And those young guys especially really understood that to a point where they were prepared for what was coming ahead, and they liked being the team to beat. They liked having that target on their back. And that's what stood out to me from spring training. I mean, remember saying it in live shots, no one's having more fun than the Cubs right now. And it's true. It was just one of those things that you wanted to be around them. You wanted to cover them. You wanted to see what they were going to do next. It was just interesting to see them start that way and then have it all culminate with the way it did with the parade. And then, you know, 6-7 weeks later at the White House, and it just seemed so storybook. It was just, it came together just the right way with a great, great group of guys who had the personalities to do it.
All right. Chicago won 103 games during the regular season and outscored their opponents by 252 runs.
Unreal.
And they beat the Giants in the division series, then the Dodgers in the championship series. But let's talk about the regular season now. What stood out during the regular season? You were covering them at home, on the road. As we built up to this playoff run and eventual World Series championship, what was the feeling during the season?
You know, what you just said about how many runs, their run differential, that was without Kyle Schwarber. I mean, I think that stands out to me big time, just realizing that he didn't even play the regular season and came in the World Series, and what he will be able to do now coming in with a full season and feeling healthy. I mean, you got to believe that's going to, that's just going to increase their ability to score runs. I think that the regular season as it unfolded and you saw them take the first place in the division in April and kind of just build on that. And it really was one game at a time. They never let the day before affect what was going to happen the next day. I mean, it was unheard of how that happened and how they would bring in different guys. And, you know, from the outside, you'd wonder, would they mesh with them? And they welcomed it. It just kind of, you could see that it building. And again, that ability that Joe Maddon sets that tone of, okay, it's over. What can we learn? Let's move on. And just that was kind of what they did each and every day. I mean, dealing with the Schwarber injury so early, I think that was a small panic button for everybody. But it didn't affect them. Winning games, losing games, it didn't seem to shake who they were, or what they were going to do, or what they were able to do. And you just never counted them out. I mean, how many times they'd come back at the end, and it was entertaining baseball. And as such a big fan, you never wanted to walk away. I mean, one night it'd be Dexter, one night it'd be Chris Coughlin, it'd be somebody random. I mean, Tommy La Stella out of nowhere. I mean, just different guys would step up, and what Chris Bryant was able to do so consistently, and even Rizzo in and out of slumps and able to handle it and still be a leader and be the guy that people are looking at to lead. And then David Ross, I mean, it was like a storybook what he was able to do. Another no-hitter from Jake Arrieta. And I mean, just it just came together. I don't know if I'm describing it correctly, but watching them go from series to series and kind of each moment and have all these magical moments, it was just pretty cool. I think we forget, because we all focus on October and what happened in the playoffs and them obviously ending the World Series drought, but during Cubs convention, they ran all these highlights through of everything that happened from the season. And it's unbelievable. It was just their year. I mean, the way things unfolded, it's always fun to look back at that now and see that they put together one of the best seasons in baseball history.
And Dion, you alluded to it a moment ago, but what about the one person didn't have a single hit, didn't pitch a single inning, but had a profound effect on the team, and that was the leadership of Joe Maddon, the manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, he, you know, people want to second guess him and still, you know, question some things, and that's fine. He's fine with it. You can do that, but it starts with him. He sets that tone of how they're going to, you know, operate in their clubhouse and how they bring in guys and how they're going to mesh and knowing personalities. And that's just who he is. He's, you know, we say all the time at ABC7, Joe Cool. I mean, I think everybody says that. The president called him the coolest guy in the room. I mean, he really is. He's just, you want to be around him. You want to talk to him. You want to hear what he has to say, because you feel like he's just a step ahead, especially when it comes to putting together a lineup and trying things, but also not afraid to admit, okay, that didn't work. I think that that's why guys like to play for him and why guys like to be in his clubhouse. Now, I'm curious to see if year three, the themed road trips and that sort of thing still resonates with guys. As these guys are getting older and kind of getting into their routine, maybe that isn't going to be part of the way things unfold anymore. I don't know. I don't know how that works or how that's worked in the past where Joe Maddon has been before. But you do know, I mean, even when we got to talk with John Jay coming into his first season, he has no history with Joe Maddon. And he said, but I know from what guys tell me just how great it is to be a part of his clubhouse and to be on a team that he is managing. And even if guys don't agree with every decision that he makes, I think they all very much respect him. And he did it. He won the first World Series in 108 years for the Chicago Cubs. And so I think he's earned that for sure, not just with this team, but in baseball.
Dion Miller with us from ABC TV7 Sports in Chicago. Now, let's talk about the World Series itself. The Cubs were down 3 mm-hmm. games to 1. Mm-hmm. Were you shaking a little bit at that time? I bet you were.
Well, Packer Dave, full disclosure, I grew up a Cleveland Indians fan, and so I was in one of those juxtapositions of it's a win-win situation for me, but I wanted the Cubs to win, and I just wanted that story to finish that way. And even when they were down 3-1, I thought, okay, well, maybe this isn't their year, but they'll learn from this. And then it was magic. It's hard to even describe what we saw, right? I mean, the rain delay out of nowhere in game seven, it was like 3 games in 1. I still can't quite wrap my brain around everything that went on just in game 7 and how that unfolded. And just as a fan of sports, you can't, not appreciate how hard they work to get back in that. And again, it comes down to the way they approach that whole season. I mean, down 3-1. Okay, let's win game five. Let's win game six. And then we'll worry about game seven and not get too far ahead of themselves or get too down on themselves. They just kind of stayed true to who they were and realized that they can do this. And just having Schwarber back in the World Series and being, it was just unbelievable what Kyle Schwarber was able to do, not seeing a live pitch for months and months, not even running the bases, and what he was able to do. It's unbelievable the talent that he has and what he and how he was able to just step in almost seamlessly and be nearly the MVP. I mean, truthfully, it was unbelievable what he was able to do. And so just how that whole series played out, It was hard to believe. It still kind of is hard to believe. I remember sitting there after even game six and thinking, I can't believe they've tied this up and we're going to a game seven. But then you could believe it because that's what we had seen all season long. Now how do you follow that up? How do you take how challenging that was in such a long series, and how do you take that into the next year? I think that will be a big deal as they get further into spring training, and how last season affects this season, and how deep they played last year, and having precious little time off before they're right back at it. I think that will be an interesting storyline, how they build off of an epic World Series.
All right, Dion. And then, of course, the visit to the White House. And Steve was to the White House many years ago under the Reagan administration. Real quick, Steve, don't make it a long soliloquy. What was that like? Real quick.
Oh, well, my mother's first or second cousin was the chief counsel of economic advisors to Reagan. So I was in Washington that summer. Wow. And got an invite to come down there. So we got a tour of the West Wing and had lunch in the White House mess. And that was like way cool.
I would imagine. So, Dion, you were there with the Cubs. First off, why did they move that up? They usually do that later on, but they moved it up.
It seemed to be that they kept saying it was because right after Cubs convention, the guys were all already together. It just seemed to work timing-wise. And because President Obama had invited them back in November, it was one of the first tweets he sent out after they won the World Series, "You want to come to the White House before I leave office?" And he had called Joe Madden and said those exact words, "We want to bring you to the White House before I leave office." And so I think it was a timing thing that it worked as it did. It was one of the cooler experiences of my career. I had not been to the White House since I was in high school, so it was interesting to just be there on Martin Luther King Day and Obama's final week in office, and just seeing it was just cool. I mean, it's hard to even describe. I couldn't quite believe that I had gotten there. I mean, standing there in the East Room, it truly felt like a giant suite at Wrigley. I mean, there were just Cubs fans everywhere, standing ovations, and President Obama so good in those situations and so smooth. And it was just, I remember just standing there trying not to be too into my social media, like really trying to embrace the moment, because it truly was historic. The Cubs hadn't been to the White House and hadn't been in this situation, and just the excitement over the whole thing and the energy that was in that room. It was really cool. Something I'll never forget.
Dion Miller, ABC TV7 Sports in Chicago, trip down memory lane with the 2016 Cubs. Dion, thanks for coming on the show. Always a pleasure, and you have a great day.
All right, anytime, guys.
Dion Miller, ABC TV7 from earlier this year, and who knows what's going to happen with the Cubs now. Well, we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Weekend Sports Report. Remember, you can catch us at internetfm.com. and kwwradio.com. New shows are posted Friday afternoons for your listening pleasure. So, for Steve Leventhal, for Mike Perlow, for Bill Fordyce, and for Dion Miller, I'm Packer Dave saying thanks a lot. Take care. Have a great day. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Get some bears, come back.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.